Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. It is Friday. Friday. There's some stuff to get into today. The Nantucket and Bears football with the one that only is back. John Sierra from John and Morris in the morning. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes after the hour. We're going to get into that. Some of the stage and baseball, some of the background. From what David Jason said about the Bible, we're going to do all of the things that are right here on this Friday. And if they say, you know what, this is too dark. We thank you for joining us. And we're going to give you a reminder of you. I'm brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Line Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. It's 4991 Alma School. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Channel Heights. They are now serving beer and wine. Listen, when I tell you there are a ton of televisions there for you to watch games, there are a ton of televisions for you to watch games. They will have the NFL tickets, so you'll be able to sit down, relax, enjoy the games, smoke your sticks, grab your beer, grab your wine, and enjoy yourself. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. So today, or let me rewind this a little bit. So yesterday, David Griffin said the same thing a lot of other people have said about LeBron James, about the greatness that is LeBron James, that working with LeBron James can be tough, that there is a certain level of toxicity, if that is a word, that you have to deal with when you work with LeBron. It's not easy. When you work with certain superstars, it's not easy. There aren't a lot of people that want to deal with it. There aren't a lot of people that want to do a lot of the things that that superstar wants to do because they don't make it easy. That's not something that's a secret. Kevin Durant has said that, and it's shown. And I think it's funny that we're arguing something that's true. We're not arguing this myth. And I know LeBron came out with this tweet, all right, enough is enough, tired of people attacking the throne or the crown or whatever. Whatever the emojis were. Look. We know that David Griffin is walking his back, and he's smart to walk it back. I don't think he should. Honestly, to be honest with you, I lose kind of a tinge of respect because this is what you said, man. Why are you on TV today explaining what you said? You said what you said. I don't care if the article is about, you know, XYZ. If this is what you said about this topic, this is what you said about this topic. And it's funny that everyone wants to focus on the fact that
everyone wants to focus on the fact that he's saying that LeBron is lost a fire to win or lost this to win. I think LeBron James is a competitor. I think LeBron James still wants to win titles. I think since LeBron James in the back of his mind knows he's never going to catch Kobe with 5 rings and he's never going to catch Michael with 6 rings, what's the next best thing for him to do? Win 3 titles with 3 teams. Then he could say no one else at my stature has ever done this because we know Jabbar has done it twice. So he can surpass one of the NBA all-time greats and do it in 2 different places by doing it in 3. Completely understand that. 100%. I'm not doubting his will to win. And we're still talking about that, and we're still talking about the stuff with his kid from AAU, from an AAU game. We're talking about that. We're missing the biggest part of some of the quotes that were said and some of the things that I really wanted, that I really think we should focus on, things that Chris Bosh has said, things that Kevin Love has said, and now David Griffin is saying it. It is hard to be around the environment that's created because LeBron is there. No one is saying that he's a terrible person. No one is saying that he doesn't do good work in the community. No one is saying that he doesn't speak his mind and in a lot of ways illuminate a lot of things that should be illuminated. But that doesn't take away from the fact that when he comes to your team, you have to sign his guys, the guys that he wants, the coach that he wants, the GM that he's comfortable with. All of that has to fall in place. So it doesn't matter. You know what? I'm going to liken this to, I remember a long time ago, and I forget what athlete it was, but they told a story that Prince rented their house. And when he rented their house, when they came back, the entire house was painted purple on the inside. Everything was changed around the way Prince liked it. Now, Prince paid them to change it all back. But he wasn't just going to come into a house and leave it the way it was, rent that house and do his work that way. He needed it all changed his way. LeBron is the same way. When he comes to your team, he wants it changed his way. And we're so focused on the burning with the belly inside and all that stuff that we're missing parts of the quote that has nothing to do with that. It has to do with it is hard and it's a toxic environment. Now, there are guys that thrive in that environment, thrive in it. No big deal to them. Do what you will, say what you say, they will thrive in it. They will thrive in chaos. We all have that friend that is only doing well when there's a bunch of foolishness going on around them. They just want chaos. We all have that friend. That when things are going bad, that's when they're at their best. They want to keep a lot of nonsense going around. We know that. We absolutely know that. We all have that friend. So why are we acting like all of a sudden that this is impossible? It's the truth. This is just the way it goes. There are some people that operate well in that. And the key thing that no one else wants to point the finger at is when he says, when you play with LeBron, when things go well, he gets all the credit. When things go bad, he gets none of the blame, and you do. Kevin Love saw this. When things went well for Cleveland, it was LeBron pushing Kevin Love to do what he does and yada, yada, yada. But when things went bad and they lost, Kevin Love didn't do this. Kevin Love didn't do that. If Kevin Love would have did this, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. This isn't new news. David Griffin even said the one thing that he said today that was so true. If we had said this about anyone else in the league, it wouldn't be a 3-day story, a 2-day story. It would have been said, it would have forgotten, it would have been, we would have moved on. But you can expect that because he is the most polarizing. He's been, for at least the last 5 years, the best player in the game, the best player in the league. For this generation that's playing now, he's probably the best one in the game, and I'm saying Kobe is before him because I honestly, you know, that I think Kobe is better. But of course it's going to be sensationalized. When KD had the audacity to say that it was toxic, it was sensationalized. So let me go ahead and rephrase this a different way and put it like a question. I want you to tell me the last non-clutch sports guy, the last non-clutch sports guy that wanted to come play with LeBron James that's considered a star in the league. The Kerry Law line is open, 917-889-7828. If anyone could tell me the last non-clutch sports guy that willingly came or forced his way into playing with LeBron, I will wait on it. I will wait for you to tell me. Because it doesn't happen. Alvin Gentry just said he wished that things went different with AD, that somehow they knew once he signed with Clutch Sports that he was pretty much out. And this story is going to not bubble up because that's not a direct shot at LeBron. So it's going to bubble up, but not have the same effect because we're not directly talking about LeBron. But the truth of the matter is, it's a different ball game. It is a much different ball game. It's a much different ball game when you are talking about the king. I got Sean Sierra calling in a second. Let's pay a couple bills so he calls in.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So, I want to get into this more before the show wraps up. Definitely want to get into this more. I do, at the end, we're going to play our old theme song as we go out. It was written by my boy Sean Haley, who unfortunately passed a year ago today. He passed a year ago today. It would have been his birthday. So this show is dedicated to him. And we're going to talk about some of his favorite stuff, the White Sox, of course. We're going to definitely talk about the Chicago Bears. I think this dude wore orange and blue every day of his life. Incredible house DJ around Chicago he was. And just my boy, my brother in crime. We knew each other since we were 1 year old, literally. So you don't get any closer than that. So, but we're talking about the Bears, so I know he would really get into this show. And I'm talking about the Bears with possibly the best person to talk about the Bears, talking about the White Sox with possibly the best person to talk about the White Sox with. He knows Chicago sports. He's one half of the host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show. He is the one, the only, the super back, Sean Sierra, my man, shorts in December, shorts in January. What's up, brother?
Shorts in January, brother. That's how we do it. Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for carving out some time with me. I appreciate it very much.
No problem. You know what I said, man. Anytime I get to talk my Bears, it's all good.
Okay, so I need you to illuminate something for me here, because I'm looking at the Bears, and I was really on them about getting rid of Howard. I thought he would have been the perfect quarterback. But rumor has it, this kid that they drafted, it's supposed to be pretty good. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, man, this kid that they got, I was really surprised. He's a lot bigger and stronger than people thought. He's about, 5'10", 5'11", like 220. This kid's got amazing feet. Last year, he led the NCAA in forcing missed tackles. So this guy is very elusive, and he's not very fast. I think he runs like a 4.6, so it's not very fast. But, you know, if you make somebody miss and there's no one else in front of you, you don't have to be 4.3 to gain chunks of yardage. So this kid is pretty good. I was at camp last week watching, and the one thing that he does really well that Jordan Howard didn't do well, and don't get me wrong, I'm not berating Jordan Howard at all, because I was a big Jordan Howard fan. The one thing that David Montgomery can do is he can run pass routes. When I was at camp, it was a beautiful, beautiful. He ran a seam route. You know, he shook the linebacker, and the linebacker came up to check him. He shook him. Ball was thrown perfectly over the linebacker in front of the safety. I mean, there's no tackling, of course, but it would have he would have got at least 20-yard gain before free safety came over and got him. So this guy has a skill set that Jordan Howard didn't have. And then running between the tackles, much better than I thought. Much, much better than I thought. This kid is the real deal.
Is he gonna? Do you think he'll be the starter? I mean, I know with Tariq Cohen will be the quote unquote starter, but they're so the Bears interchange their backs. They do the two back system. Do you think this guy will get a good number of touches as a rookie?
Well, he might not. Well, he's gonna get tons of touches. Oh yeah, he might not. Tariq might not even be the starter. You know, Mike Davis, the guy they signed from Seattle, I'm telling you why I think Mike Davis is going to be the starter. He's phenomenal in pass pro. Phenomenal. One of the things I made sure to watch was the one-on-ones and running backs versus linebackers. And Mike Davis stoned quite a few people. And you know, Montgomery, it's just going to take him a little more time. You know, he got beat. Roquan Smith gave him an inside move. Spun on him and got to the dummy. After that, Montgomery pretty much locked everybody else down. So we're talking about Roquan Smith, a guy who's a budding pro bowler. And, you know, he took him to school. But right after that, he got up, he was fighting, and, you know, he locked everyone else that he went in that drill with. Montgomery locked him down. So I think Mike Davis is going to start. And by the end of the year, I think it'll be David Montgomery's job. But you know what? Starting doesn't really matter. They're going to alternate. They're each going to get – a bunch of plays. So it's going to be something good to watch because they both bring something different to the table.
On the Cave Show with PLR, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, one half of the dynamic Sean and Maya in the morning show, the superback Sean Sierra. Does Mitch grow this year? How good is Mitch going to be? Are we expecting to see better Mitch or the same Mitch?
Let me tell you something. Mitch, if you looked at last year, and I did every game, from game one, week one to week 18, which is the wild card week. Week one, if you remember, Mitch, second half, Aaron Rodgers is going to town, bringing him back. Mitch looked like a deer in headlights. Had no idea what the hell was going on. Fast forward 17 weeks, wild card week. Bears are down, fourth quarter at home. Mitch leads this team. They're down 5. He leads his team, stands tall, throws a game-leading touchdown pass to Allen Robinson, right side of the field, touchdown. They go back down. They kick a field goal. We're down 1. Mitch drives the team back again, downfield. Unfortunately, we know what happened there, the double doink. But not once but twice did Mitch step up in the wild card week. Mitch is ready. That was a coming-of-age moment for Mitch. And now that he's had an entire offseason with Allen Robinson, who's not rehabbing like he was last year, he's training. Now he's got a better chemistry with Taylor Gabriel. He's got a better chemistry with Trey Burton. He's got a better chemistry with Tariq Cohen. See, what Mitch is doing now, Mitch is running that offense. He's not learning the offense. There's a big difference. And the confidence that this kid has, the swag that this kid has, it's unbelievable. It's night and day from last year when he's learning the offense to this year when he's running it.
who, when I look at this team, I want to say this is going to be a better team. I don't know if the record will necessarily, I don't think this is a 14-2 team, a 13-3 team. I definitely think it's a division winner. And I definitely think this is a team that's going to have a bye possibly in the first week. But what's going to make this team take that extra step? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Is it a little bit of both? Why is this team going to be better than they were last year?
They're going to be much better than they are last year. Here's why. One, Mitch is better. Okay? When you learn, you as well as I do, you know, when you learn an offense your first year, it takes time. You got to develop here. You don't develop chemistry like that. You can do a lot of things in the offseason. It's just not game speed. Now he has a whole year under his belt, a whole year of tape for him to watch, a growing process. He's got more weapons. You signed Cordell Patterson. You signed Mike Davis. You got David Montgomery. So there's a level of comfort for him. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, there's no disrespect to Vic Fangio by any stretch. He built the best defense in the NFL last year. Vic Fangio, however, not a very big guy as far as blitzing. Okay? Chuck Pagano, he brings it. And this team, you got a bunch of dogs on that defense. At every level, you have a pro bowler. At every level. So when I was at camp on Sunday, he showed seven. They all showed like they were coming. So he's like, okay, he's not bringing all of them. The thing is, which ones are coming? You got to figure that out. He brought all seven. He brought all seven. The inside linebackers checked for the running back, make sure he didn't swing out either way. He wasn't. He stayed in the pass pro. Linebackers came. They blew that whistle literally in under 2 seconds. Mitch got the ball. One whistle was blown. Chuck Pagano is going to bring the pressure. He's got the people to do it. And more importantly, he's got the depth to do it. This team's going to be much better. Now we're talking the return game. You got Cordell Patterson. Bears fans know Cordell Patterson very well. He ran the kickoff back on us last year when he was playing for the Patriots. Tariq Cohen is a all-pro punt returner. We got that down. The only part we need is the kicker situation. But we will be better, much better this year than last.
At Dallas on Thursday, December 5th. They have Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. The Thursday night to start season in Green Bay. And one night against Washington. Against the Rams in their rematch from last year. The Bears have always been a good TV draw, even when they weren't winning games. They still managed to find their way on national TV a couple of years. Everyone knows the Bears are built on the Chicago is a blue, pale, take your lunch to work city. We would rather have someone hit in their face 1,000 times than get cute and pass the ball around. What will the nation, though, learn about the Bears when they see them 5 times on national TV this year?
They're going to know this team is no joke. That defense, I'm telling you, I'm going to kind of go back to your last question and how do we know the Bears are going to be different. The way the season ended last year, the Bears felt that they deserved to at least be in the NFC Championship game. L.A. was talking a lot of smack after they beat them here, and they said it was too cold. If you came to L.A., it'd be a different story. Well, it almost happened. It was about to happen. Save the double doink. They are not happy with the way that season ended. They have not forgotten the way the season ended. Matt Nagy has not let them forget the way the season ended. And then the other day in camp, Khalil Mack was talking afterwards in the presser. He was saying, we got to win now. He said, you know, he talked to some of the old vets, Charles Woodson, when he was with the Raiders. He said, you got to win now. When you have the chance, you have to win now because there's no guarantee next year. Contracts come up. People leave. People get hurt. Things change. No two teams are ever the same. You got to win now. So now that you have the best player on that team, with that type of sense of urgency, it filters down to everybody else. That defense is going to be something that is Paul, I'm telling you, I almost cringe when I say this. They are going after the legacy, and not in a bad way, not in a bad way at all. They're going after the legacy of the 85 Bears. This defense is that good, that deep. It's a big statement, bro. I believe you. It's tough for you to even say that, dude, but these dudes are a bunch of dogs.
I love that. On the Cave Show with PLR, one half of the Sean and Maya Morning Show. Superback, Sean Sierra. So I something that I know that touches you, because you were a running back. What is going on with the NFL and the way that they're treating running backs? Now, I know if I'm the NFL and I'm a team and I'm the owner of a team, I'm doing it the exact same way. I'm not paying them. They take the most hits. I have no problem with the way the management's doing it. My problem is, what's up with the NFLPA and how are they not understanding they are costing one of their own positions money? There is no way in the world, when you look at great backs, and this is no knock on what Connor did in Pittsburgh, but everyone that says, well, look how good they did with Le'Veon Bell, they're being disingenuous, because Le'Veon Bell is that good. And I watched Le'Veon Bell line up in the backfield, then sprint out as a wide receiver, and defenders almost crap their pants because now they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we stop him? How do we stop Brown? And how do we stop Schuster now that Le'Veon's out here? They didn't do that when James Conner was there. The Rams, Gurley ran all over the place. Well, C.J. Anderson got off his couch eating Doritos and did the same. No, he didn't. He did not. Dak Prescott is not as good without Ezekiel Elliott. The superstar backs are the superstar backs. Why can't they get that respect?
They can't because the NFL's changed. The NFL has changed, and it's changed to a passing league, and we know that. The emphasis on a running back is really diminished. The emphasis on running back, I mean, you're still going to have your great running backs, but the bottom line is you're trying to get people, you're trying to get touchdowns. You want long touchdowns. You want people, you know, you want to see the long touchdown passes and more scoring. People love the scoring. They love to celebrate the end zone. They love the end zone dance. They want entertainment. Running backs, they're not flashy for the most part. Takes a lot longer to score. So the value of the running back has diminished greatly, which is why you see so many running backs who are in the passing game, because that's the way the NFL is going, the passing game.
I just remember watching the San Francisco 49ers and the West Coast offense, and I remember watching Roger Craig catch a lot of balls. But Bill Walsh wasn't dumb enough not to know we better hand the ball off to this guy too, because the passing is great. But when you get into a game, and I just heard Herm Edwards say this the other day at ASU Media Day, because I asked him, I said, the Pac-12, they throw the ball around the yard, and you're still a running defense guy. And he said, look, I like to pass too. I like to put the ball up in the air. I like to score 50 points. But there's going to come a point where in a game, you got to be able to hit someone in their face, run the ball, and stop the other offense from coming back on the field. And when you got three of the best that do it, why are you so against paying them when you're not even winning? And they're proving to you that you're not going to win without them. To me, it just seems like I'm going to prove that I'm right by showing you I can put anyone back here instead of let me pay this guy to prove that we can win a Super Bowl.
The reason with that is this, that you take a beating. You know, Le'Veon Bell wanted money. He wanted to be, you know, compensated because he touched the ball 400 times. You know, you can't do that nowadays. Okay? You can't. It's athletes are too big, too strong, too fast now. Okay? Imagine paying him $15 million like the Jets are going to do, or 14 and change. Imagine that, what you're going to pay him. And all of a sudden, he goes down with a knee. That's $15 million that you're not getting of production. And I know that it's prorated if he's hurt by how many games and all that stuff, and that's fine. But the big chunk of your cap is in one guy. Business-wise, it doesn't make sense. If you can get two guys to do the same thing that one running back can do, so one guy's more of a pass guy, one guy's more of a run guy. We have both guys who are pretty good runners and pretty good passers. It kind of defeats it hides which one, what you're going to do, run or pass, and the amount that you're paying is so much less than $14 million like Le'Veon Bell's getting in New York.
You know, watching Walter Payton spoil me, because maybe I'm crazy. I hear this in basketball all the time. This guy's a great two-way player. Well, he should be a two-way player. Running back should be able to, you know, we got one that blocks, we got one that runs, we got one that catches. Maybe I'm just spoiled because I saw Walter Payton do all three. So I think I'm now officially old man, get off my lawn, because I thought that was the job of a get back to do all three things. I didn't know you had to specialize in like that.
No, you're not. I mean, you might be. I am too. But you know what? If you look at it from this way, if you can get two guys who are pretty good at both, then and remember, cash rules everything around me. You know Wu-Tang? Cash rules everything around me. If you can pay someone to do two guys who are pretty good at that, as opposed to a superstar and the superstar contract, you'll take it because you're going to a passing league. I agree with you. I like that there's going to come a point in time where it's 3rd and 1.5, 3rd and 2, that you need to just line them up, say, hey, we're running right here, stop it if you can. And
yep.
To me, that's football. But that, the way the NFL is going, that's not it. They're going to have a little quick screen pass. They're going to have a quick out. They're going to have a quick curl, screens. That's the way the NFL is going. But me and you, bro, I'll tell you, I like, it's 3rd and 1. You know what's happening. You bring that fullback in. You bring that H back in. It's coming. It's going one side of the line or the other. Man up.
And I'm gonna hit you dead in your jaw because you know what I find is funny? Everyone wants to throw a quick screen pass. Screen passes are outside. You know what else is outside? Really fast linebackers and safeties. You know what's inside? Lightweights, because everyone wants to get upfield now. Hit them in the mouth. I'm an old school West Side Chicago guy. Hit them in the mouth, keep it moving. Speaking of hitting people in the mouth, I want to ask you this and then get to the White Sox and then let you go real quick. I wish someone would hit the Saints in the mouth. I am so tired of them whining. I can't believe that Roger Goodell has to go and appear in court or being subpoenaed along with the three referees. I can't believe they let Sean Payton, the league, allow Sean Payton to whine until they made a new rule about reviewing PIs. I watched a preseason game yesterday where a coach challenged a PI call. What is this league turning into? Look, the ref that blew the call, you know what? Punish him, fine him, fire him, suspend him. Don't let him do big games. But you don't change a rule because of that. When you, Sean Payton, could have ran the ball three times before you kicked it, and you could have had 18 seconds left on the clock for the Rams with no timeouts, having to drive down to get in range. You also could have told Drew Brees, who's not the second best player in football, to not throw an interception in overtime. You could have told your defense to stop them from moving down the field. What the hell? Do we wind our way into everything now?
Yep, that's the way it is. And unfortunately, that was egregious. I mean, it was – I don't know how the ref missed it. I don't know how all the officials missed it because you got the back judge, you got the line judge. You know, once the ball's thrown, the line judge, he looks downfield to see how that was not called. I have no idea. There's no way on God's green earth that play is not called. How that wasn't called is beyond me. I see Sean Payton. I understand his frustration. I might have done the same thing. But, it's – if it was, guys fighting around and, grabbing each other's arms and pushing a little bit, yeah, then you know what? Then I don't really have a thing because that's all the time. But when it's a helmet-to-helmet shot before the ball gets there, 20 yards downfield, on the sideline, and everybody sees it's not in the crowd, yeah, and that play alone stops me from being able to run out the clock and going to get to the big game. Come on, man. I feel Sean Payton. I understand it. I do agree, though, that he's complaining a lot about it. And they got to go back and start from the drawing board. They got to start from the drawing board. And believe you me, they have something to prove because I think it's going to be the Bears and the Saints NFC Championship game.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I wasn't even going to ask you for predictions today. Really? You know what? I don't. You want to hear something crazy? I don't even think the Saints are going to be as good. I think they're going to miss Ingram. I think that the two-back system is actually going to hurt them a little bit. I'm really surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised that you said that. I think Drew Brees' age shows a little bit more this year.
I think, of course, everyone's staying healthy. If you lose Mike Thomas, then that's a whole other story. Yeah. But everyone's staying healthy. Here's why. The way the Bears season ended last year is the same way the Saints season ended last year on some BS. Okay?
Yeah.
And you don't forget about that. And I told you that why the Bears are – why they're feeling the way they're feeling, why they are amped. Saints are going to be amped too. They are one blown call away. You know, and you know, you never, it's, you know, football, you can't put out one play. There's other play, you know, you talk about the interception, you talk about fumbles, you talk about missed blocks, a whole bunch of things. But in a play, at that critical juncture of the game that is not called and that is improperly called, that could have helped and benefit the team that's losing, then I have an issue. That's why the Saints they're going to be amped. They are not going to forget it, just like the Bears didn't forget how last year ended. And I think they're going to come out. I think the Saints are going to be a really, really big force along with my Bears.
Real quick question so I can let you jump out of here. The White Sox. The season's kind of going away. I think everyone thought this was a young team. They hovered around 500 for most of the season. And now I want to call baseball is catching up with them because they're just young. They're really not that good. But give some outlook on what do you think this team can become with this year down and now another year with those young guys playing for next year?
Oh, I disagree with you. I think they're a really good team. It's just the injury bug got them. Yeah, the injury bug got them. All right, last year you got Michael Kopech. Kopech was supposed to be penciled in for this season. Then the ace of our staff, Carlos Rodon, he goes down. So now we have the two top pitchers down. So we had Ray Lopez, who was pitching well last year, first half of the season, he sucked. We have Lucas Giolito, who was lights out the first half of the season, and actually the other night had a phenomenal game going up against Jacob deGrom, 7 innings, 1 run, 9 punch-outs. Everybody else is Ervin Santana. They signed off the scrap heap. Dylan Covey, they've started. Despaigne, I mean, Ivanova. I mean, you're like, who are you saying? Exactly, because you don't know who the hell they are. We don't know who they are. You can't go into games with horrible starting pitching and expect to give your team a chance to win. You can't. You just can't do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Your starting pitching will dictate that team. And right now we have one guy who's really, really good in Lucas Giolito. We have Ray Lopez, who after the All-Star break is starting to get better. And we have a young guy, Dylan Cease, who's a battler who I really, really, really like. But he's young. He's figuring it out. He's going through – this is why I wanted Dylan Cease up this year. I want him to struggle. I want him to get rocked. I want him to learn how to pitch to big boy hitters. You're pitching against All-Stars, Hall of Famers. Learn how to win. And the thing that I love about it, his second to last start, beautiful first inning. He walked the first guy, gets the next three out. Second inning, walks the bases loaded, gives it to Granny. He's pissed. He comes, and you know what? Rick Renteria left him in. He said, you made this mess, you fix it. He goes out in the third, fourth, and fifth inning, gives up no hits. That's the kind of guy that I want in this rotation. Just because they get you, don't forget, they're professional hitters. Just because you have talent, you're coming up and you're young, you're playing against professionals, you're playing against pros. And you win some and you lose some. But when he lost some, when he lost the second inning, he came back out, shut him down the next three innings, and that was it. That's the kind of guy I like. He just don't have starting pitching. Injury bug got us. Tim Anderson's been out. You know, Morgado just went out. Eloy Jimenez was out for a while. I mean, it's just injury bug. It's tough. But I'll tell you what, when these guys get healthy and they bring up Lewis Robert next year, he's not coming up this year. They spent $26 million signing bonus. They exceeded the international pool money to sign him, so they got fined another $26 million. So they paid $52 million for Lewis Robert.
Right.
They're keeping that extra year of control. They ain't bringing him up at all. you can take that to the bank. But when he comes up next year, they're going to have a lineup. You see what he's doing down in AAA. He's got in his first 7 games, he had 5 homers. He's diving all over the field, center field. Dude, he can cover from everything from the Wisconsin border to the Indiana border. This dude is the real deal. We're going to have at least 6 legitimate studs in that lineup when he comes up. So the pitching is starting to come around. This is going to be a really fun team to watch. This is going to be a really dangerous team to watch in this very, very, very soon to be competitive American League Central.
Hey, I said this when the season started, and I'm sticking by it. I still say the Indians are going to catch the Twins. You think I'm wrong?
No one's catching the Twins. Twins, they're like a year, they're probably a year and a half or 2 years ahead of the Sox in their rebuild, and all their guys are hitting. They're doing it. I think Cleveland is good. I don't think they're going to be able to catch them. But Cleveland, I'm not saying Cleveland's bad. I'm just saying Minnesota, yeah, they're all of their prospects that they had in the minors for a while, yeah, well, they're starting up. Mm-hmm. They're up now, and they're performing.
And then lastly, my second team is down here, the D-backs. They gifted the Astros Zach Greinke, with Zach Greinke being there now with Cole and with Verlander. Is there anyone that's going to beat them in the American League?
Nope. I was screaming from the mountaintops. I was like, I wanted the White Sox to go get Greinke. I had a guy on because I was saying, you know, Garrett Cole is free agent at the end of the year. I said, Dallas Keuchel is free at the end of the year. And one of the guys said, you know what? I said, you can trade for Zach Greinke's on the block. I'm like, you know what? That's right. If we go get him, great. He's getting $31 million. Who cares? All right. He's only got two more years on his contract. At that particular point, you put him at the number one spot, or you put any other stud at the number one spot. When Kopech comes back, he doesn't have to worry about carrying that rotation. When Rodon comes back, he doesn't have to worry about carrying that rotation. Ray Lopez next year doesn't have to worry about carrying that rotation. Lucas Giolito doesn't have to worry about that rotation. Dylan Cease doesn't have to worry about carrying that rotation. They can develop and become really, really good pitchers in the next 2 years while you have that stud number one, like a Greinke, like a Garrett Cole, like a Dallas Keuchel. And then when their contract is up, you don't resign them, and you let those guys who developed now take center stage. But the Astros got them, and man, that is a formidable, formidable starting five.
So I don't care what the Yankees said. You're not hitting those three in back to back to back hit. It's just not going to happen. And
I agree.
To me, that's what happened. Just go ahead. And as much as I like the Dodgers' chances to win the National League, and I watch them all the time, hell, they play the Diamondbacks 38 times a year, it feels like. So I see them a lot. Their pitching isn't that pitching. And I look, what did my man Denny Green said? Crown their asses now.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. They got, man, you know what? It's a different time in Houston. I was going over that today on the show. It's, you know, they had three consecutive 100 loss years, and then the fourth year they had 92 losses. Like, those are dark times down in Houston. And now they're smack dab in the window of opportunity of World Series championship contention.
Who's the best house DJ ever? Give me a top two. Give me a top two house DJ from Chicago.
Damn. Okay. Man, I don't know if I can give you two, bro. Paul Johnson. Yeah,
okay.
That's a nasty, it's a wicked slider you just tossed to me right there. that's a drop down slider. Wow. I'm gonna give you one old and one new, one more contemporary.
Okay.
Man, I'm a big Paul Johnson fan.
All right.
And more contemporary, I gotta go with my guy, the Bulu Master.
Okay. So here's another one. Who would you rather listen to? The Hot Mix 5 or the Chosen Few?
Hot Mix 5.
Okay. I got you. You know,
the original
I'm
Hot
old
Mix 5. The original.
Okay.
I'm good friends with Julian Perez. You know, he was one of the technically people think he's one of the original members of the Hot Mix 5, but
nah.
He wasn't. He was actually
nope.
The sixth member. What happened is that I forgot who they kicked out, like right after they formed the Hot Mix 5, and it was like within a couple of months they kicked him out, and then they brought in Julian. So that's how. So they just say the original member of the Hot Mix 5, but technically he wasn't. But he's still dope as hell.
I used to buy records from Ralphie the Raz Rosario.
Ralphie, yeah, he used to hold me. Yeah.
Yep. Ralphie the Raz. Yes, sir. So, all right. Well, you know what? See, I'm down with that. I really like the Hot Mix 5 a lot, the original Hot Mix 5. And they were Farley Funk, Master Key, Mickey Mixon Oliver,
Farley Jack
Ralphie Rosario,
mm-hmm.
Kenny Jam and Jason and Scott Smoke and Sills.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I forgot which one got kicked out, and then Julian jumped in. I don't remember which one got asked to leave.
I want to say it was Mickey, Mixon, Oliver, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, though, because I know Scott Stills and his dad, like, pretty much started everything, because they actually DJed a party for us at Lane Tech, and that was him and his dad set up the equipment.
Ah, okay. You know what? I'll holler at Julian and see what's up, and I'll figure out who left.
Yeah.
Next time we talk, I'll let you know.
I see your, you know, you jumping around with your with the house music. I said, let me get at my man and see if see which one he likes the best. Because remember, there wasn't there that battle to see who would replace it. It was either Steve Silk Hurley or Julian Jumping Perez. Steve Silk was no joke either.
No. You know what? They're all great, dude. They're all great. It's really tough. It's like everybody under Mike Trout. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole bunch of great baseball players, but none of them, you know what I'm saying? Mike Trout's in another world. But there's a whole bunch of them you can say, well, yeah, he's good. He's good. He's great. He's great. He's great. But you know what I'm saying? I think all the Hot Mix 5, the original Hot Mix 5, Julian, all those guys are just on all in love. It all depends on who you, on your type of, you know what I'm saying, what songs you like in particular. When they mix those songs, you know, you tend to like one more than the other just because maybe he has a song selection that's more to your liking than the other.
You know, I used to go to the warehouse over on Halsted back in the day. And I remember Mike Dunn.
Halsted, yep.
Oh, man. Mike Dunn would have my ears ringing for 3 days, and I would just still be soaking up the music. So, yeah, man, there's people that aren't in Chicago don't realize, brother, that there's nothing like house music and that house music mentality.
No, there's nothing like it, man. I'll tell you what, it's coming back. They got a whole bunch of different house music picnics and festivals this year. There's actually, every weekend there's basically one somewhere throughout the city. So it's kind of picking up steam, and a lot of the young bucks are getting introduced to house music that their parents that we used to like, that we got into, and it's a good thing. It's a way to keep it alive and pass it on from one generation to the next.
Yo, bro, tell everyone how they can check you out every day from 9 to 12 in Chicago.
Guys, you can check me on 9 to noon Central Standard Time every day. You can go to you can download Logic Music, part of the Logic Media Group. So Logic Music, download that app. You'll find us. We're on under Logic, or you can just tune into Facebook Live. Sean and Maya in the morning. It's at Sean and Maya, SHAWN AND, and Maya is spelled MAYA. So you can check us out that way. Tune in, I suppose. Leave a comment. You know what I mean? We love to talk sports, and we do it 5 days a week.
You know, we see your face a lot, man. You're my boy, but it's a whole lot easier looking at Maya while y'all are talking. Just thought I'd share that with you.
Hey, I can't even lie, dude. Maya's a beautiful, beautiful woman. I can't even front.
Yo, man, I appreciate you. You know that, and I'm sure we'll get up with each other soon.
Cool, man. No problem, Paul. We'll holler.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, man.
That is the super back himself, the one and only Sean Sierra, joining us here on the Cave Show with PLR. We got this running joke because I was on his show when I was in Chicago, and I kept talking about the heat and saying, yeah, but we're shorts in January out here in Arizona, so nothing more needs to be said about that. The weekend is here, so you guys watched preseason football yesterday. Before I get into that, let's pay a couple of these bills.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So no one likes preseason football. And the only reason I watched the game yesterday was because I'm so football deprived like most of you. But you know what? The NFL has to come up with something. In all honesty, joint scrimmages are just as good as a preseason game without the fans having to dig in their pockets to pay unnecessarily for tickets for people that aren't even going to play. We've already heard Julio Jones. He's not going to play in the preseason. If Ezekiel Elliott signs, he's probably not going to play in the preseason. We're not going to see guys for more than two or three snaps. Do you really think the Rams are going to try Todd Gurley out there a lot in the preseason? Not a chance. You want to see Tom Brady get hurt in the preseason? Not a chance. It just doesn't happen. It is the biggest waste of time and money, and all it's doing right now for us is filling a void of football that we missed, and we'll watch next week as well because more teams will be playing. We'll get a glimpse of our guys. You'll get people saying, well, that dude is a real stud. Yeah, whatever. Listen, 85% of the roster is already set. You don't believe me? You can check any quote for any coach in NFL. 85% of the roster for every NFL team is already set. You know your starting QB. You know your backup QB. You know your starting wide receivers. You know your backup wide receivers. Guys battling for – if a guy is battling for a starting QB job in the NFL, it means your team sucks and your quarterback is not good. Stay right here in Arizona. Arizona is a bad football team. You can tell me there's a battle. We all know you don't draft someone number one to sit on a bench the entire year. This isn't Jeff Fisher football anymore. You get picked in the first round as a quarterback, before the season is over, you're playing. Mitch Trubisky with the Bears was drafted in the first round. Coach Fox did everything possible to keep him on the bench as long as possible. Had to put him in the game. If you're drafted in the first round, you are starting. So after next week, nobody cares about preseason football. Everyone at that point will be trying to put together their roster. They just want to see depth charts so they can put together their roster for their fantasy league. And we are going to do a fantasy league show. I will get the date as we get closer to it, where we are going to talk 1 hour nonstop of who you should draft. We will have a panel on the line to give you what you need and what you want about fantasy football. So like I said today when I started this show is dedicated to my brother, to my boy, the one and only Sean Haley, who passed last year, July, August 2nd. He would have been 51 today. And we talked Bears. I know that he's a huge Bears fan. We talked football. We talked White Sox. This whole show was dedicated to the things that he liked for that reason and for that purpose. And as I asked my boy Sean Sierra, who is his best favorite house DJs, I will tell you this, me and this cat back in my old DJing days, we were 14, 15, starting out, would be in my second room nonstop DJing for hours on hours, and he would crash in my crib, and we'd play and just perfect our house music game over and over. And he gave me a couple different themes for this show, and we are going to close it out with one of them. Just so everyone knows, make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, thesportscave.com. All that is with the K. You can get me.